Krishna. One may try to leave him, but he is not going to leave you. Once you come, he said, no, no sir, you cannot go out. You are locked in the room. Huh? Just like Ajamila. He was a devotee in the beginning, but later he had bad association of a prostitute and fell down. But Krishna took him in the end. Krishna is so kind that he thought, all right, this rascal is going out of my hands. Give him a child, Narayana. He will chant Narayana, Narayana, and that will go to his credit. Even if we don't finish, nothing is lost. So like the Prabhupada says in one conversation. So what is that? Bhakti Rasa, the mellow relished in transcendental loving service of the Lord, does not finish with the end of life. It continues perpetually and is therefore called Amrita, that which does not die but exists eternally. NOD. Preface. So in this way, these are benefits. Three benefits. Why is roaming? Tell him to sleep now. He then sleeps in the morning. Hey Kunja, sleep. Just sleep. Chef. Hey, that he came back after the long back. Tell him to sleep. व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धिरेकेह गुरुनन्दन बहुशाखाय नन्दाश्च बुद्धयो व्यवसायिनः. So Lord Krishna further explains the advantages of Buddhi Yoga. Those who are in this path of Buddhi Yoga, their purpose, their determination is resolute. They are very determined. So determination is very resolute. But those who are not in this path, bahushakaya anantasya buddhayo vyavasayinam, they are always bewildered and disturbed. Their intelligence is many branched. So that is the difference between those who are in the path of Buddhi Yoga and those who are not. So are they become fixed up in the mission of their life? That is Buddhi Yoga. Buddhi Yoga helps us to become fixed up in mission of life. But if we don't engage in Buddhi Yoga, we will not become fixed up in the mission of life. So that is the advantage of Buddhi Yoga. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branches. Avyavasayinam, vyavasayinam and avyavasayinam. So why they are fixed up? Why they are fixed up? They are determined. They are resolute. So because of their faith. So shraddha shabda kahe vishwas shabde kahe shabde vishwas kahe sudrudh nishchay. Krishna bhakti kahele sarva karma kruto hoye. How is their determination is resolute? Their determination is resolute because they are convinced, vishwasa, they have the conviction that simply by engaging in Krishna consciousness, everything will be taken care. All my obligations are fulfilled. Like that, they understand, they have that conviction. Therefore, they are called as so vyavasayatmika buddhi, resolute. So vyavasayatmika is a strong faith that by Krishna consciousness one will be elevated to highest perfection of life is called vyavasayatmika intelligence. So I was mentioning in our discussion on the last verse that how a devotee is an eternal idealist. So what makes them eternal idealists? Because of their faith and conviction. Their faith. Here faith means unflinching trust in something sublime, he says. Unflinching trust in something sublime. that which is not sublime, that doesn't require faith. You understand? Something which is beyond our experience, that only needs faith, right or not? That which is within our experience, that doesn't need any faith. So which directly we can perceive, it doesn't require any faith. Faith means something which is beyond our experiencing power. That is the meaning of faith. Means unflinching trust in something sublime. So, like Lord Krishna cannot be perceived by our sense gratification, you know, material sense perception. So, therefore, we keep faith in, we trust in Krishna. Therefore, that is called as faith. It is that which we can directly perceive doesn't require any faith. We are directly perceiving it. But faith means, especially, it is necessary when we want to understand something beyond our sense perception. So that trust in such something beyond our perception is called as faith. This is the meaning of faith. Now the question, when we talk about faith, many materialistic people, modern scientists, the so-called rationalists, they say that as soon as we talk about faith, immediately they say that it is a blind faith. They say generally, science is rational and religion is dogmatic, or it is based on blind faith. They say like that. But not necessary that faith has to be based on, faith has to be dogmatic. Faith has to be blind faith only. Not necessary like that. You all know that the story, you know, which Prabhupada used to tell. There was a Brahmana and the cobbler. So, Brahmana, he was... So, anyway, the Narad Muni was going, you know that story. Narad Muni was passing by and he met a Brahmana. And Brahmana, he was busy reciting, studying, reciting Vyakarna and all those things. So, then he asked, where you are going? I am going to Vaikuntha. So, you are going to Vaikuntha. If you meet Lord Narayana, ask him when I will be delivered. So, yes, surely I will do. Then he went and met a cobbler. And cobbler also asked the same thing. If you are going to Vaikuntha, can you find out when I will be delivered from this material existence? Then Narad Muni, he went there and he asked. Then Lord Narayana told that for a Brahmana it will take many lifetimes. And for a cobbler it will take... So at the end of this life he will attain liberation. So Narad Muni was surprised. How is that? Generally Brahmana is supposed to be spiritual. He is a Brahma. Knower a Brahman, right? He is a Brahmana. One who knows Brahman is Brahmana. He is supposed to be knowing absolute truth. So he is supposed to be spiritually advanced. He should attain liberation before cobbler. Then he said, you will understand this subject, this answer to this question, you will understand. When you go back to meet them, you just tell them, when they ask that what Lord Narayana was doing, he was passing elephant through the eye of a needle. So then Narad Muni went to Brahmana. Brahmana asked, oh, did you go? Yes, I went. So did you meet Lord Narayana? Yes. What he was doing? So then he says he was passing elephant through the eye of the needle. So then Brahmana was he started laughing. So how it is possible to pass an elephant through the eye of the needle? So then he asked, Narad Muni understood that there is something wrong with this person. And then he asked, when I will be delivered? It will take some time for you. And then he went to cobbler. And the cobbler, he said, he received Narad Muni nicely. And then he asked him, so did you go? Yes, I went. What Lord Narayana? Lord Narayana was passing an elephant through the eye of the needle. Then, cobbler was very happy, ecstatic. Oh, great. How great is our Lord, like that. Then Narad Muni was surprised. This guy, Brahmana is studying Vedic literature, he doesn't know. And this person, he believes that our Lord can pass through an elephant. Then he asked him, why you believe like that? So then the cobbler says, see, I am sitting below this banyan tree. And this banyan tree grows from a small seed. And in that small seed, Lord has put this gigantic banyan tree. And that tree in turn gives millions of such small seed, which has potency to grow into such huge trees. So if he can put one small tree in such a huge tree in a small seed, why not he put one elephant through the eye of needle, like that he says. So coming to this point, I'll ask you one question. What makes Lord to pass an elephant through the eye of the needle, and what makes him to put a huge banyan tree in a small seed? What makes? Why he can do that? Why he can do that? Why Lord can do this activity?
He can do anything, that's why he's Lord.
Why he can do anything?
He is most powerful.
Most powerful. Then? Anything else you would like to say?
His work is achintya, like.
Achintya means?
Beyond our consciousness, what we are thinking.
Why his work is achintya?
To put us in illusion,
No. Putting dust is different. I am talking about putting elephant in the eye of the needle. I am talking about putting the tree in the... You should understand the question. You should stick to the question and answer the question precisely. So why he can do that activity? Why his work is achintya? So, why Lord can do that? Why Lord can do? What is there in Lord which makes him to, or means it's, he can perform that activity? By which he can perform that activity. What is there in him?
He has inconsiderable potential.
He wants to explain. Same? Same? He's sure, not sure, both either.
same.
Okay. So why?
He has inconceivable potentials.
Okay, he has inconceivable potentials?
Yeah, but more to it, like, Lord has many energies under his control. So as he says, the energies will work accordingly.
Okay, that's more or less same.
Yeah.
He has the potential to enter into each and every item which can't even be seen.
So why it makes, why? Yeah, basically you are all telling that, huh? Yeah. So you should be sure about it, huh? Okay. That's our point. So he has, that's why you see Prabhupada asked. We can take over whole world, he says, in 18 days. Are you convinced, he said. Everyone is sitting. Are you convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God? Then everyone was quiet. At least I am convinced, he says. So we have to be convinced why Lord can do this. So he has inconceivable potencies by which he can do anything. He can do anything which is within our conception and of that which is beyond our conception, beyond our experience. Everything, literally. Everything, when we say in terms of our everything. But everything, there is a lot beyond our everything, right or not. So this we have to, we should understand our insignificant condition. So this knowledge of the potencies of the Lord. So why cobbler had faith in Krishna that he can pass an elephant through the eye of needle? Because he had knowledge of the potencies of the Lord. So see, this faith is not based on blind faith. It is not blind faith. It is not based on dogma. It is based on knowledge. It is knowledge of the potencies of Lord. Not necessary that faith should be blind faith only. Faith can be based on knowledge. So because these idiot fellows, they are not even, they don't know what is knowledge. They are always in darkness. So they think that everything is the so-called rational is also bogus completely. So just froggish philosophy it is. And their so-called religion is also just it's just progress philosophy, everything is. So in this way, that conviction should be there. That conviction is called as faith. So this conviction should be there. That is the meaning of eternal idealist. We have to, devotee means he should be eternal idealist. So brahmachari means he should be eternal. Many people will tell you, oh, you cannot be a brahmachari, you will come back. Like that they will say. So better don't be a pretender, like that they will say. All these kind of things they will say. Yes, all the best, you be there only, we will go ahead like that, we should tell them. So any devotee should be eternal idealist, not only brahmacharis. So that is what Shraddha means, faith means. This is actually beginning of Krishna consciousness. Why do we think that we cannot? Because we think that there is Maya is more powerful than Krishna. There is something beyond Krishna. So this Buddhi Yoga what makes? Makes our intelligence fixed in the mission of life. This is the benefit of this Buddhi Yoga. And those who are not in Buddhi Yoga, they can never be fixed in anything. They will always be many branched. So, like morning I was telling, who can stay as a brahmachari? So I quoted from Brahmacharya book. Those whose desire to serve Guru and Krishna is very strong, they can stay. Why they can stay? Because their intelligence becomes resolute. So this is told in this verse. That resolute purpose of a person in Krishna consciousness is based Vasudeva everything. This anyway, this we discussed. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Service in Krishna consciousness is however best practiced under the able guidance of spiritual master, who is a bona fide representative of Krishna, who knows the nature of the student and who can guide him in to act in Krishna consciousness. As such, to be well versed in Krishna consciousness, one has to act firmly and obey the representative of Krishna. One should accept the instruction of bona fide spiritual master as one's mission in life. So morning we are discussing, right or not? So we should have strong desire to develop, strong desire to serve Guru's mission. So especially this verse, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on this verse, he explains that those who develop strong desire to serve the mission of Krishna are those who make Guru's instructions or Guru's mission to be life and soul, they will become resolute like this. They will develop such unflinching trust and faith in Krishna consciousness. So, like that. And Srila Prabhupada, he says that when I read this purport of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, my determination to serve my spiritual master's instruction became very strong. You see, from his life, what we learn, what is the most essential quality of Srila Prabhupada? So when we think about Srila Prabhupada, what we think immediately? Like when we think about Arjuna, immediately we think about Kurukshetra war, or Bhagavad Gita we think about Arjuna. So then when we think about Srila Prabhupada, what do you think? You immediately think about his preaching in the Western countries, right or not? What was that preaching about Western countries? It was instruction of spiritual master. So he made that instruction of spiritual master as life and soul. Where are Bhagavatam, where? Which I gave you. Bhagavatam. You left it there, huh? We have 6th canto and 4th canto, 2nd part. Anyone is reading 4th canto, 2nd part? So, 6th canto. Somewhere here there was, no? So, you have to bring that because I am going to quote from them. So, then who will follow them up after that? Anyway, so Srila Prabhupada was given instruction by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur on his first meeting, and in the last instruction which he gave to him was the same instruction that he should preach in the Western countries. So Srila Prabhupada made this instruction of Srila Prabhupada as his life and soul. So he made them as life and soul. And he made them as his life and soul. He always contemplated how to fulfill the mission of spiritual master. And not only just contemplated, he found what is the means to fulfill that, and he fulfilled it also. So this is how one will develop vyavasayatmika buddhi, fixed determination, fixed intelligence in the mission of life. So by making Guru's mission as life's mission. So therefore, we should make Guru's mission as life's mission. But before often we see that people talk Guru Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, Guru Maharaj like that. But before that we should know what is Guru's mission. Importance of knowing Guru's mission. Srila Prabhupada talks about that in so in ISKCON means we want to know Srila Prabhupada's mission. So there is conversation, you know, in the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam between Vishnu Dutas, Yamdutas, when Ajamila, Vishnu Yamdutas came to take away Ajamila. So there he says, the verse says, the blessed messengers of Lord Vishnu, the Vitu, Vishnu Dutas said, if we are actually servants of Yamaraj, you must explain to us the meaning of religious principles and the symptoms of irreligion. You are all servants of Yamaraj. Yamaraj is Dharmaraj. Then you should know what is Dharma and what is Adharma. So you tell us like that, he says. Then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, this inquiry by the Vishnu Dutas to the Yamdutas is most important. A servant must know the instructions of his master. See here. A servant must know the instructions of his master. The servants of Yamaraja claim to be carrying out his orders. And therefore Vishnu Dutas very intelligently asked them to explain the symptoms of religious and irreligious. Then a Vaishnava knows these principles perfectly well because he is well acquainted with the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord says, Sarva dharmam parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja. Give up all other varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. Basically, devotees should know Bhagavad Gita very nicely. Therefore, surrender unto the Supreme Personality of God, it is actual principle of religion. Those who have surrendered to the principles of eternal material nature instead of Krishna are all impious, regardless of their material position. Unaware of these principles of religion, they do not surrender to Krishna, and therefore they are considered as sinful rascals and lowest among men and fools bereft of all knowledge, as Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Namam Dushkritino Muda Prapadyante Naradama Mayaha Paharta Jnana Asuram Bhavam Ashrita. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons and do not surrender unto me. One who has not surrendered to Krishna does not know the true principle of religion, otherwise he would have surrendered. The question posed by the Vishnu Dutas was very suitable. One who represents someone else must fully know that person's mission. This statement. See, the first statement, what is that? Second statement. The servants of Yamaraja. Second statement. A servant must know the instructions of his master. And one who represents someone else must fully know that person's mission. Then Prabhupada gives instructions to devotees in the Krishna Conscious Movement. The devotees in the Krishna Consciousness Movement must therefore be fully aware of the mission of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. Otherwise, they will be considered foolish. All devotees, especially preachers, must know the philosophy of Krishna Consciousness so as not to be embarrassed and insulted when they preach. So, we should know, before executing the mission, we should know the mission. This is the point. That means we should know Srila Prabhupada's mission very thoroughly, very nicely. 6.1.38. So then I will speak some more about this mission, you know, executing the mission of Guru, understanding that. So 4.28.51. So this is Puranjana story, you all know, no? Second part. My dear king, one Brahmana who was an old friend of King Puranjana came to that place and began to pacify the queen with sweet words. Puranjana has died now and queen is lamenting. So then one Brahmana comes. The appearance of an old friend in the form of Brahmana is very significant. We have discussed this. Ajñātasaka. In his Paramatma feature, Krishna is a old friend of everyone. According to Vedic injunction, Krishna is sitting within the living entity, side by side. According to Shruti mantra, Dva Suparna Suyajya Sakaya, this verse also we have discussed. No? The Lord is sitting within the heart of every living entity as Surat, the best friend. The Lord is always eager to have the living entity come home back to Godhead. Sitting with the living entity as witness, the Lord gives him all chances to enjoy himself materially. But whenever there is an opportunity, the Lord gives good counsel and advises the living entity to abandon trying to become happy through material adjustment and instead turn his face towards the Supreme Personality of God and surrender unto him. This we discussed in 2.22. When one becomes serious to follow the mission of the... So here this point. When one becomes serious to follow the mission of the spiritual master, his resolution is tantamount to seeing the personality, Supreme Personality of God. See, what is the connection with this verse? This, it is actually a translation of 2.41. As explained before, this means meeting the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the instruction of the spiritual master. This is technically called Vani Seva. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states in his Bhagavad Gita commentary on the verse, Vyavasayatmika Buddhir Ekehe Kuru Nandana, that one should serve the words of the spiritual master. The disciple must stick to whatever the spiritual master orders. Simply by following on that line, one sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the point. And so So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma, appeared before the Queen as a Brahmana. But why didn't he appear in his original form as Sri Krishna? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that unless one is highly, very highly elevated in loving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot see him as he is. Nonetheless, if one sticks to the principles enunciated by the spiritual master, somehow or other he is in association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since the Lord is in the heart, he can advise a sincere disciple from within. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Tesham satadayuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. In conclusion, if a disciple is very serious to execute the mission of the spiritual master, he immediately associates with the Supreme Personality of Godhead by Vani or Vapu. This is the only secret of success in seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Instead of being eager to see the Lord in some bush of Vrindavan, while at the same time engaging in sense gratification, if one instead sticks to the principle of following the words of the spiritual master, he will see the Supreme Lord without difficulty. Srila Bilva Mangal Thakur has therefore said, Bhakti Svayi Sthiratara Bhagavan Yadisthyad Daivena Nakpalati Divya Kishora Murdi Mukti Svayam Mukulitanjali Sevatasmin Dharmartha Kama Gatayas Samaya Pratikshaha. If I am engaged in devotional service unto you, my dear Lord, then very easily can I perceive your presence everywhere, and as far as liberation is concerned, I think that liberation stands at my door with folded hands waiting to serve me, and all material conveniences of dharma, artha and kama stand with her. Krishna Karnamrita 107. If one is very highly advanced in devotional service, he will have no difficulty in seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one engages in the service of the spiritual master, he not only sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead but attains liberation. As far as material conveniences are called, they automatically come. Just as the maid servants of a queen follow the queen wherever she goes, liberation is no problem for the pure devotee. And all material conveniences are simply awaiting him at all stages of life. So now this point, you know, in between here that instead of being eager to see the Lord in some bush of Vrindavan, while at the same time engaging in sense gratification, if one instead sticks to the principle of following the words of the spiritual master, he will see the Supreme Lord without difficulty. So this is important point. Now you may wonder why we are taking so much trouble to do this Gurukula and doing all this book distribution and so many other activities, so much management, receiving phone calls. So why not just sit in Vrindavan and chant Hare Krishna? So like that. So here we are trying to execute the mission of Guru and Krishna. So then we will be able to see Krishna directly. So it is not so cheap to see Krishna. So then this indicate, then another, she then prepared when that king died. What he says, you see. She then prepared a blazing fire with firewood and placed the dead body of her husband upon it. When this was finished, she lamented severely and prepared herself to perish in the fire with her husband. So then Prabhupada talks about this Saha Sati system. And he says, even as late as 1936, we saw a devoted wife voluntarily enter into the fire of her husband. Of course, British government stopped this practice considering it inhuman, because it was done it was voluntarily, generally it is done. So they started forcing, therefore British people, this is all inhuman like that, because they always talk about, instead of dharma, they talk about rights, human rights. So woman also has a right to live and engage in what is that? Illicit sex after the death of her husband. That is their philosophy. So then Prabhupada, he says, this indicates that a devotee's wife must be prepared to act in such a way. Hare Krishna. Then he says, then something more for all of you now. Similarly, a devoted disciple of the spiritual master would rather die with spiritual master than fail to execute the spiritual master's mission. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes down this earth to establish the principles of religion, so his representative, the spiritual master, also comes to re-establish religious principles. It is the duty of the disciples to take charge of the mission of the spiritual master and execute it properly. Otherwise, the disciple should decide to die along with the spiritual master. In other words, to execute the will of the spiritual master, the disciple should be prepared to lay down his life and abandon all personal consideration. So this is Vyavasaya Atmika Vritti. So now in Prabhupada's mission, I tell that Prabhupada basically three things he says. So one is singing, dancing and feasting is most important. And book distribution is also very, very important. Everything is concentrated around book distribution, he says. And then Gurukula is extremely important like that. So all three should go on. So sometimes we say, no, when our Kshatriya movement is going to begin. So first we have to make Gurukula, curriculum, everything. Then that is most important. Then other things will follow. So this is, then when we fix ourselves like this, then it is Vyavasaya Atmika Buddhi. So otherwise it is avyavasaya, now many branches it is. Okay, coming to the point of, so what I should read. So sometimes it happens, I was telling, no, instead of trying to see, one, some devotees, they went to some Radhakund Baba, one big congregation of devotees, from ISKCON, some ISKCON congregation, went to some Radhakund Baba, who was preaching that, you just chant four rounds, I'll give you Krishna Prem, like that. So they were all initiated, most of them initiated members of congregation. So they went and took initiation from that Baba. So you can imagine how this Baba can give, it became an issue in ISKCON, no? So how can he give prema without, with less, so less commitment, no? So we have to, we will attain our goal of life, love of Godhead, not by such cheap allurements, but by following the understanding and executing the mission of spiritual master. Therefore, Prabhupada here is quoting, Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado yasya prasadad nagati kuto jayam suvan sasya yashastri sangya vande guru shri charanaravindam. Sometimes people say that, okay, Prabhupada was a great guru, so present gurus are not great like Prabhupada. Definitely, there cannot be another guru like Srila Prabhupada. There is no doubt in that. So, and Prabhupada has made it clarified, if you think that present gurus are not qualified to guide you, then you become guru, you understand Prabhupada mission, and you guide others if you think like that. So that that option is there. So the whole process, however, depends on perfect knowledge of the soul beyond the conception of the body, not theoretically but practically. When there is no longer a chance for sense gratification manifested in putti activities, one who is not firmly fixed in mind is diverted by various types of putti acts. So this is again and again condemned here, purport after purport, purport verse after verse, sense gratification, sense putti activities. So this is condemned again and again, again and again, again and again. You have to be careful with that. So pretty activities means this, and it can come in this also. These are sinful activities and these are pious pretty activities. That is the difference. We'll come to that chart. Okay, so then should I read some lecture? Okay, so Yami Mam Pushpitam Vacham
Pravadankya Vipashita Veda Vadara Pata Nana Siti Vadina Kamarma Sarkapara Dharma Karma Parapra Dhyana Vishesha Bhavanam Bhogeshwarya Gatim Prati.
So men of small knowledge are very much attracted to flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruity activities for elevation to heavenly planets, result in good birth, power and so forth. Being desires of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. So there are three sections in the Vedas. One is Karma Kanda, another is Jnana Kanda, and third one is Upasana Kanda. Karma Kanda means we perform certain rituals which are given in the rituals and sacrifices which are given in the Vedas, by which we attain some higher material position, material enjoyment and material position and opulence, or we may go to heavenly planets. So that is Karma Kanda. And Jnana Kanda is once, so in Jnana Kanda there is description about Param Yoma. There is beyond this material world, you are going to heavenly planets, but beyond their material world, there is another world, or Brahma, knowledge about the Brahman. There is also spiritual substance. So material life is not just all in all, material enjoyment is not all in all. So that is described in Jnana Kanda. And especially impersonal liberation, impersonal realization. And Upasana Kanda, there is worship of different demigods and also worship of the Supreme Lord. So both it is sometimes. Sometimes it's worship of demigods and sometimes it is worship of Supreme Lord. So these are three sections of the Vedas. Now here Lord Krishna is talking about those followers of Karma Kanda, those who are very much attached to fruits of their action. So these followers of Karma Kanda are called as, so Jaimini, he preached this Karma Kanda very much. This is called, yesterday we were discussing, no, Karma Vada or Karma Mimamsa. So by following this Karma Kanda, one will attain heavenly planets. So Prabhupada, here Lord Krishna is condemning followers of Jaimini as avipashitaha. Avipashita means, so they are men with poor fund of knowledge. They don't have complete knowledge of the Vedas, and they are so called followers of the Vedas, Vedavadarata Partha. And they are called as Kamatmana. Kamatmana means they are full of material desire, desirous of sense gratification. So such people are very much attracted to this flowery language. So Karma Kanda is full of flowery languages. So you will get this, you will get that. This woman is like this, you will get enjoyment with this woman. So all those descriptions are given in Karma Kanda. So we should not be attracted to them. So one, those who are attracted to such portion, they cannot execute yoga or buddhi yoga. They cannot come to the path of yoga. Yoga means detachment from sense gratification. Without detaching ourselves from sense gratification, there is no question of yoga. So therefore, such people are not. So Krishna is encouraging us. Now in the 41st verse, there is a discussion about two kinds of people. Vyavasaya Atmika Buddhi and Avyavasaya Naam. So here 41, 42, 43 and 44, three verses talk about Avyavasaya Naam. Those whose intelligence is many brand, those who are not fixed in the mission of life. So in the goal of ultimate, attaining the ultimate goal of life, purpose of life. So these are all Karma Kandis. So Prabhupada here is giving some example of what is this Karma Kanda and some examples. Apama Somam Amritam Abhuma Akshayam Ha Vai Chaturmasya Vijinaha Sukritam Bhavati. So like that, all these Karma Kanda sections, so they talk about enjoyment. So these are Karma Kandas. I will just read something from Srimad Bhagavatam. So you wanted to know that verses which I quoted from Bhagavatam in the previous 429, 28, 51, and then 50 also. First I read 51, then I read 50. So now I will read about this Karma Kanda sections. From Srimad Bhagavatam, this is 6.3.35. Prayena veda tadidam namahajanoyam divya vimohitamatirvatamayayalam trayam jadikratamatirmadupushpitayam vaitanike mahati karmani yujyamanah. You caught some words in this verse? Madhupushpita, right? Or Mayayalam and Madhupushpita. This Karma Kanda is Mayayalam it is, and Madhupushpita it is. Prayena Veda Tadidam na Mahajanoyam. They did not understand the path of Mahajanas. Who are they? So these Karma Kandas, these Jaiminiyan followers. Because they are bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yajna Valkya, Jaimini and other compilers of religious scriptures cannot know the secret confidential religious system of the Chol Mahajanas. Now here we come to difference between all these I was mentioning. No, there are 20 Dharma Shastras are there. There is Dharma which is described by Mahajanas, Bhagavata Dharma. Mahajana, where they have described Dharma? Where they have described Dharma? What is the Dharma Shastra of Mahajanas? 12 Mahajanas? That is Bhagavatam. In Bhagavatam, their teachings are there. Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu. Everyone has given their instructions in Bhagavatam, no, right? So this is highest Dharma Shastra. And that is summarized in Bhagavad Gita. Briefly it is given. Bhagavad Gita is also Dharma Shastra, right? So, because they are bewildered by illusory energy of the Supreme Personality, Yajnavalkya, Jaimini and other compilers of religious scriptures cannot know the secret, confidential religious system of the 12 Mahajanas. They cannot understand the transcendental value of performing devotional service or chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Because their minds are attracted to the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas, especially the Yajurveda, Sama Veda, and Rig Veda, their intelligence has become dull. See here. Thus they are busy collecting the ingredients for ritualistic ceremonies and yield only temporary benefits. That yield only some temporary, such as the elevation to Swargaloka for material happiness. They are not attracted by Sankirtan movement. Prabhupada in the purport only. In the translation only he puts Sankirtan movement. Because that Sankirtan movement is given by Mahajanas. Instead, they are interested in dharma, artha, kama and moksha. He says. A little bit of Prabhupada has not, completely, generally. This is done generally in the translation. They don't give a literal translation. You see, Madhupushpitayam, here word to word meanings. In the flowery Vedic language describing the results of ritualistic performances. Mayaya. Mayaya means by the illusory energy. All alum greatly. They are bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord. So like that he says. Here, little bit I'll read nicely. Since one may easily achieve the highest success of by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one may ask why there are so many Vedic ritualistic ceremonies and why people are attracted to them. This verse answers that question. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 15.15, Vedesh Sarve Rahameva Vedyaha. The real purpose of studying the Vedas is to approach the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Unfortunately, unintelligent people, bewildered by grandeur of Vedic yagyas, want to see gorgeous sacrifices performed. They want Vedic mantras chanted and huge amounts of money spent for such ceremonies. Sometimes we have to observe the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies to please such unintelligent men. Recently, when we established a large Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, we were obliged to have Vedic ceremonies enacted by Brahmanas because the inhabitants of Vrindavan, especially the Smartha Brahmanas, would not accept Europeans and Americans as bona fide Brahmanas. Thus, we had to engage Brahmanas to perform costly yajnas. In spite of these yajnas, the members of our society performed Sankirtan loudly with mridangas, and I considered that Sankirtan more important than Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Both the ceremonies and the Sankirtan were going on simultaneously. The ceremonies were meant for persons interested in Vedic rituals for elevation to heavenly planets, Yadikruta Matir Madhupushpitayam. Whereas the Sankirtan was meant for pure devotees interested in pleasing the Supreme Personality of God. We would simply have performed Sankirtan, but then the inhabitants of Vrindavan would not have taken the installation ceremony seriously, as explained, like we do Abhishekam on festival days. So just chant, do Kirtan, do lot of Katha, instead of run here and there arrange for ceremonies. Okay, that is also part of yours. That comes in Pancharatri Kaviti. We would simply have performed Sankirtan, but then the inhabitants of Vrindavan would not have taken the installation ceremony seriously. As explained here, Vedic performances are meant for those whose intelligence has been dulled by flowery language of the Vedas, which describe fruity activities intended to elevate one to the higher planets. Especially in this age of Kali, Sankirtan alone is sufficient. If the members of our temples in different parts of the world simply continue Sankirtan before the deity, especially before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they will remain perfect. There is no need of any other prophet. Nevertheless, to keep oneself clean in mind and habits and mind, deity worship and other regulative principles are required. Srila Jiva Goswami says that although Sankirtan is sufficient for the perfection of life, the archana or the worship of the deity in the temple must continue in order that devotees may stay clean and pure. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur therefore recommended that one follow both processes simultaneously. We strictly follow his principle of performing deity worship and Sankirtan along parallel lines. This we should continue. Okay, so this is about Vedic ritualistic ceremony. Jadikrita Mathyai Madhupushpitayam. Those who are dulled in the head. But Jaimini and his followers know we are most intelligent people. We are most capable people. These people are not intelligent and they are not capable, they say. Text 44. Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam thaya parakritachetasam vyavasayayatmika buddhi samadhona vidhiyate. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. So continuing on avyavasayi nam, in this verse Lord Krishna says, because they are bewildered by bhoga and aishwarya, so therefore they are not able to fix their mind. So now Prabhupada, he explains samadhi. So this is one more verse for you. Samadhi means fixed mind. The Vedic dictionary, the Nirukti says, samyag adhiyate asmin atma tattva yathatmyam. When the mind is fixed for understanding the self, it is said to be in samadhi. Samadhi is never possible for persons interested in material sense enjoyments and bewildered by such temporary things. They are more or less condemned by the process of material energy. So, why we have to give up bhoga aishwarya? Why we have to give up bhoga aishwarya? Aishwarya is meant for purchasing bhoga, right? Aishwarya is meant for purchasing bhoga. Why we should give up bhoga and aishwarya is given in this verse. It is a hindrance, obstacle in self-realization, in attaining the mission of our life, in attaining Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we want to give up sense gratification. Although we are told sense gratification is the cause of suffering, it is the cause of bondage to this world, all these things we are told. But Most important thing is that because of sense gratification, thaya paharate chesa. So we become bewildered and our buddhi cannot be fixed on self-realization. Therefore, we want to give up sense gratification. This is told in this verse. Okay. In the beginning it has been said, but unfortunately in this world everyone is just chasing after this bhoga and aishwarya. So therefore, there is no spiritual culture in the society now. Everyone is money, 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 bhoga and sense enjoyment. They earn day and night, they work hard, like in modern society we see. And once they get money, they go to the parties, enjoy their senses. So they are completely bewildered. In the beginning it has been said that you decide, so I am reading from, in the beginning it has been said that you decide that in this life I shall execute Krishna consciousness in such a way that after leaving this body, I shall enter into the spiritual world and go directly to Goloka Vrindavan. This is called Vyavasayatmika, Nishayatmika, means determination. But Krishna says that persons who are attached to bhoga, material enjoyment, aishwarya, material opulence, bhoga, aishwarya, prasatthana, those who are attached to material enjoyment and material sense gratification, material opulence, taya paharata chetasam. And those who have become bewildered or mad after it, taya paharata chetasam. Vyavasayatmika buddhi cannot make necessary firm resolution, so we do not know that we are standing on the crumbling precipice and can fall at any moment. We really on false promises and our own judgments. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Jada Vidya Jato Maya Rabaibhav. This material advancement of civilization is enticing, just like the streets of, or roads of your American cities that look so nice with many lights and neon signs. But we should always remember that this situation is not permanent. At any moment we may have to surrender everything. So therefore, if one becomes attached to this false platform, then his determination to go back to Godhead will not be able, not be all that is required. 2.45 Los Angeles. So, okay. This in Nectar of Devotion, so bhoga and tyaga, bhukti or mukti, they are described as witches. As long as we are haunted by this mukti and bhukti, witch of mukti and bhukti, we will not be able to relish the rasa of devotional service. So that verse is there, no? What is it? Bhukti mukti sprahaya var pishachi radivartate. What is that? Kutasya bhakti rasa, what is that verse? Yeah. As long as this is there in the heart, desire for liberation and material enjoyment, one will not be able to relish Krishna consciousness, the rasa of devotional service. So therefore we have to give it up. And text 45. Trayunya Vishaya Veda Nistray Gunyo Bhavarjana Nirdvandyo Nitya Sattvasto Niryoga Kshema Atma. The Vedas deal mainly with the subject of three modes of material nature. O Arjuna, become transcendental to these three modes. Be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the self. So we were discussing about karma kanda, and from karma kanda, when one realizes that this is futile because material enjoyment is temporary. Even if you go to heavenly planets, again we have to come back again for from pious activities, karma kanda again go. So when they realize it, then they come to the point of, so you know those brahmanas who are performing sacrifices, they will inquire from them. That is called as brahma jinyasa. Is there anything beyond this? Something higher than this? So that is called as brahma jinyasa. That is the point of Upanishads. So in the Vedas there are, Upanishads are the last portions of the Vedas where this transcendental knowledge or Brahma Jnana, Brahma Vidya, Brahma Jidnyasa is given. So knowledge about Param Yoma, eternal realm, and about spiritual existence is given in Upanishads. So here Prabhupada, that's why he says, Upanishads mark the beginning of transcendental life. So when the activities of sense gratification, namely the Karmakanda chapter, are finished, then the chance for spiritual realization is offered in the form of the Upanishads, which are part of different Vedas, as the Bhagavad Gita is part of fifth Veda, namely the Mahabharata. The Upanishads mark the beginning of transcendental life. As long as the material body exists, there are actions and reactions in material modes. So in this way, one should come to the platform of transcendental realization. So our inquiry into absolute truth. So you see now, Krishna is condemning this karmakanda. One should be detached from sense gratification, he says. So that means that is a platform of nishkam karma. Now he is talking about jnana. Jnana is mentioned in? So in the Upanishads, jnana kanda portion. So then he says, nirdvandho nitya sattvasto nir yoga kshema atmavan. You see, as long as the material body exists, there are actions and reactions in the material modes. One has to learn tolerance in the face of dualities, nirdvandho, such happiness and distress, cold or warmth. And by tolerating such dualities, becomes free from anxieties regarding gain and loss. This transcendental position is achieved in full Krishna consciousness when one is fully dependent on the goodwill of Krishna. So these are the things. Niryoka kshem atmavan. So this jnana mishra or jnana yoga. So study Vedanta, study Upanishads. So Vedanta is essence of these Upanishads. So that is given here. Then okay, so text 46. Yavanartavuta pane sarvata samruto deke tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vinamata. All purposes served by a small well can at once be served by a great reservoir of water. Similarly, all the purposes of the Vedas can be served one who knows the purpose behind them. See, this verse is talked about. Ultimate purpose is to come to Shuddha Bhakti. And in the purport, especially Srila Prabhupada, he focuses within Shuddha Bhakti, chanting Hare Krishna mantra is the best process. So by chanting Hare Krishna mantra, we will attain all the purposes of the Vedas. So that is the point. So Prabhupada presents this in twofold way. Those who chant Hare Krishna mantra are the most civilized human beings. And those who chant Hare Krishna mantra are the most learned people in the Vedas. In the previous verse it speaks about those who study Vedas, Upanishads. So, they are supposed to be most civilized human beings. So now civilization begins from Varnashram Dharma. Alright, we read that in the 31st verse. Human civilization begins from Varnashram Dharma. So dharmo hi tesham adhiko visheshyo dharme nahi na pashubhi samana. Otherwise they are just animals. And in Varnashrama there are different activities. For instance, performing sacrifices, austerities, penances, Vedic rituals, studying Vedic literature, going to the holy places, taking bath in holy rivers. So leading like this life is called part of all these Varnashrama injunctions. So these are all parts of civilized human being. Why this is all there? Because by doing all these things our material existence is purified. Suppose Dijyam Putraka Yena Sattvam Shuddhe Dhyasmat Brahma Saukyam Tvarantam. our existence becomes purified. Therefore, all these injunctions are given in the Vedas or in Vedic culture. So, but those who chant Hare Krishna mantra, they have attained perfection of this, following all these rules and regulations. Therefore, here Srila Prabhupada is quoting that verse, Aho Bhatasva Pachato Gariyan Yajivagre Vartate Namatubhyam Tepustapah Juhuhu Shashnuraya Brahmanacharan Nama Granandiyete. O my Lord, O person who is chanting, a person who is chanting your holy name, although born in a low family like that of a chandala dog eater, is situated on the highest platform of self-realization. Such a person must have performed all kinds of penances and sacrifices according to Vedic rituals and studied Vedic literature many, many times after taking his bath in all the holy places of pilgrimage. Such a person is considered to be the best of the Aryan family. So we discussed Aryan means most civilized human beings, right, in the beginning of the second chapter. Aryan is the most civilized human being. So why he is the one who is chanting is one best among the Aryans? Because he has understood the purpose of the Vedas. In the previous verse, Krishna said, you should study Vedas and Vedanta. He has understood the Vedanta. Vedasya sarve rahmeva vedyo Vedanta krit veda videva chaham. He is the true knower of the Vedanta. And he knows the purpose of the Vedas. And such person is most civilized human being. And the second part he says, he is the most learned person. There are 14 divisions of knowledge. When we talk about learning, we are not talking about in terms of MA, PhD, BSc, MSc. We are not talking about those flow department. PhD means Prabhupada said flow department. You understood? PhD, flow department is. So, our bhakti, Srila Prabhupada in one purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, if real PhD should be taken from Ramananda Raya, he says. That is real PhD. So we are not talking about that. That is just bread and butter knowledge. It's an animalism, royal edition of animalism, he says. That is modern education and modern civilization. So we are talking about 14 divisions of knowledge. So in the Puranas, so 14 divisions of knowledge are given. And those who study these 14 divisions of knowledge, they are considered as learned. So Prabhupada says, for advanced education, there are various kinds of books of knowledge, such as the four Vedas, their six supplements, the Vedanta Sutta, books of knowledge, logic, books of religiosity and Puranas. So altogether there are 14 divisions of books of education. Of these, the book which presents Adhyatma Vidya, spiritual knowledge in particular, the Vedanta Sutra, represents Krishna. So Prabhupada is telling, in Bhagavad Gita Lord Krishna, he said, Adhyatma Vidya Vidya Ram. Now, Vidya, these are 14 divisions of Vidya mentioned in the Puranas. And these 14 divisions of Vidya are again divided into two parts in Mundaka Upanishad. One is Paravidya and another is Aparavidya. Aparavidya, most of these 14 divisions only deals with Aparavidya. That's why he says Traigunya Vishaya Vedo, within the three modes of material nature. And Adhyatma Vidya is Paravidya. That Adhyatma Vidya is Vedanta, it is. So that is Vedanta. So one should study Vedanta to understand the purpose of the Vedas. But who can study Vedanta in Kali Yuga? No one can study Vedanta in Kali Yuga. So Prakashananda Saraswati was challenging Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why you are not studying Vedanta? Why you are chanting and dancing like a sentimental people? Like that he said. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu answered, my dear sir, my spiritual master consider me to be a fool number one. Indirectly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling, you are all fools. You don't know what is Vedanta. So then he taught me this verse, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Iva Kevalam, Kalo Nastaiva 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 Gatiranyada. So, and then he told me to chant this Hare Krishna mantra. I started chanting, and I became mad in ecstasy. It is not that I do it artificially, but by chanting, automatically I become, start chanting, singing, dancing, like that he says. Then I went to my guru again and he told me, I told him, "Oh Gosai, what kind of mantra you have given? Kiba mantra dila. So this is making me mad," he says. So then his spiritual master told him, "My dear child, you have attained the real result of chanting. So you go on chanting and distribute it to others." And then he taught me another verse. That verse is considered as essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now you see, Bhagavatam is natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra. That is the topmost literature. Nigama Kalpataror Galitam Phalam Shukamukha Adamruta Dravasam Yutam. There is no scripture equal to Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost literature. And the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam is that verse which was taught to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know that which verse which was taught, which is considered as essence of Srimad Bhagavatam? So this is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. Evam ratasva priya nama kirtya jatanurago drita chitta uchay. One who chants the holy name of the Lord as an vrata, every day chanting 16 rounds of Hare Krishna mantra, like that it is. So very soon he will develop attraction to Lord Krishna, anuraga, love of Godhead. Anuraga especially means it is bhava bhakti, love of Godhead. So then that symptoms of bhava will start manifesting in him. Jatanurago drita chitta uchay. Then he starts loudly singing. Hasatyato rodati, starts laughing, starts crying, unmadavan ratyati lokabaya, he starts jumping, dancing without caring the external world. So this verse is essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now if this verse is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, then he should know the purpose of all the Vedas. Then the purpose of all the Vedas is to chant Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore here Prabhupada is telling, here knowledge is there, theoretical knowledge, and the processes are given in the Vedas. So essence of both is what? Chanting Hare Krishna mantra. These two things which Prabhupada has presented in this purport. In the end he says, you see, that Vedanta is the last word in Vedic wisdom. The author and knower of Vedanta philosophy is Krishna. And the highest Vedantist is the great soul who takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord. That is the ultimate purpose of all Vedic mysticism. So we should take pleasure in chanting and dancing. That is the ultimate Vedanta it is. So the essence of all processes is chanting Hare Krishna. Aho Bhatasvapacha Nau Pariyan. And Evam Ratasvapriya Nama Kirtya. That is the essence of all wisdom. So in this way, So chanting Hare Krishna is the purpose of all the Vedas, and those who chant Hare Krishna, they attain the purpose of all the Vedas. So it is just like here the example is given. Yavan artha udapane sarvata samplutodake. Udapane means, so udapane, it's a small well of water. Previously in India, for different purposes, they used to have different wells. One well is for drinking water, one well is for the Lord's temple purposes, one well is for washing clothes, one well is for washing the buffaloes. And those days, less buffaloes, now buffaloes have increased. like that. So in this way, every different wells used to be there. Now, if there is a great reservoir of water, there is a river that will fulfill the purpose of all these activities. So, similarly, chanting Hare Krishna fulfills all the purposes of Vedas. It is bhakti, devotional service, is the purpose of all the Vedas to bring us, and the essence is chanting Hare Krishna. So, text 47, should we go on? Or we should stop here. Continue or stop here. Shyam Sundar Prabhu will tell immediately, stop here, like continue. Okay, I misunderstood you, you see. You are so austere, but I misunderstood you. So, another thing is, purpose of the Vedas is to know Sambandha. In another way, if you want to analyze this, the purpose of the Vedas is Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana, right? Yehi Thina Vastu Vedekaya. Vedas only talk about these subject matters. And that is Krishna Sambandha, Abhideya is Bhakti and love of Godhead is Prayojana. But especially one should attain love of Godhead. That's why it is. So, here Prabhupada, you see, in the lecture he says, in the Bhagavad Gita 15.15, the Lord says, Vedaisha Sarve Rahmeve Vidyo, the purpose of all scriptures. And Vedas is to know Krishna and that He is God. If you simply understand the Supreme Absolute Truth, then you understand everything. Krishna consciousness includes everything, the karmis, activities, kruti activities, the jnanis, philosophers, speculation, the yogis, mystic power, bhaktas, devotees, worship the Supreme Lord. Everything is included. So when you take to Krishna consciousness, you have to accept everything and not try to pick and choose. So, then, next verse. Next verse we will continue tomorrow. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Because he should also attend, you know, he went for a service. I can go on. But he also likes to attend, you know. He has not attended. I thought he has attended last time, but he came to fourth chapter, he told me yesterday. Okay, so, any questions, comments?
So, currently, whatever activities we are doing, that is on which level in this step?
You have to see yourself which step you are in.
General,
we have explained karma mishra, jnana mishra, yoga mishra, bhakti. So, we are supposed to be on Shuddha Bhakti level.
Sadhana, in the course of sadhana,
we are not Shuddha level. Why you cannot be Shuddha level? Rupa Goswami defined sadhana bhakti, Shuddha bhakti. He is just first in the very beginning of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he defines Anya Abhilashita Shunyam. Then he says different stages of bhakti. What is that? Devotional service on the platform of sadhana, devotional service on the platform, Shuddha Bhakti on the platform of sadhana, Shuddha Bhakti on the platform of bhava, Shuddha Bhakti on the platform of prema. So bhakti is Shuddha, it should be. All the performer may not have become pure, but at least the sadhana which he is doing, he should be pure. So what is the point in that? How to understand this, you know, dichotomy? So he should not cultivate motivations. He may be impure, but he should not have he should not cultivate motivations, material motives. Then that bhakti is called as Shuddha Bhakti. You got the idea? So for that, basically we should have, as I told, we were discussing, we should have strong desire. Our attachment to fulfill the mission of Guru should be very strong. So then that becomes Shuddha Bhakti on sadhana level.
So if
you have some material desires also, that bhakti will just burn it away. Just like if you put fuel in the fire, it goes on burning. The purpose of igniting fire is not burning the fuel. Purpose of igniting fire is to cook, right or not? So your purpose is what? You want to serve Guru and Krishna. But along the way, all these material desires will be burnt. It's clear. This example is given in Bhagavatam as well as Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita. That's why bhakti is called as Kleshagni. It acts like a fire.
Somebody
But if you develop material motives, then material desires will increase. Desire for it, then it becomes karma, Mishra Bhakti.
Okay, so if somebody he enjoys on the intellectual level, like gaining this knowledge or gaining more and more knowledge or reading more and more, so that is in Shuddha level or it is in Jnana Mishra Bhakti?
If your philosophical pursuits become more than your devotional inclinations, then it becomes Jnana Mishra.
So how will you know it becomes more?
Then you should do it as a service to Guru and Krishna. See, like now, I have to sit and read whole day now. Because I have been given service, that kind of service. Right or not? Then for that you have to maintain very good sadhana, so that your mind is fixed on the service. Good sadhana, good association. Association of the devotees. Because it's clear.
So if a guru has not instructed, but still if he is too much into philosophy, then there is no jnana mishra bhakti.
Yeah, it may tend towards that. Definitely, if guru is not, if we are not doing devotional service under guidance, then it will be like that only, no? That's why Prabhupada says it is best vyavasayatmika buddhi can be best practiced under the guidance of able spiritual master. You read that first portion of that purport.
That means if somebody is in ashram and he is following the schedule of the ashram rigidly, then he is on Shuddha level, Shuddha Bhakti level.
Yeah, definitely. But motives matters, no? What motive you are doing that devotional service, right? We should not cultivate ulterior motives.
Motives are there, it is karma mishra.
Yeah, material desires you are cultivating, that's all.
And when it will be yoga mishra?
If you are attached to all Ashtanga yoga, like you know, you have lust in your heart. So let me control that lust by doing Ashtanga yoga, different things. And stop chanting Hare Krishna only. I'll do devotional service, first I'll control my lust. Then that is the yoga mishra. Or you may chant few rounds and do more Ashtanga yoga in the 2 hours of session. That is us. Our Panduranga. Who is that? Not Panduranga. Prashant was protecting us from falling down from yoga mishra. Are Baba, we are not stopped chanting Hare Krishna to become yoga mishra bhaktada. Should have common sense, you know. I thought of giving this lecture with all this chat at that time. But anyway, those who don't have faith and trust, whatever you tell, however quote, you know, you, it will not go inside, right? Not faith and trust and some basic level of intelligence is required. Insane people, what you will put into their head? Yogis, yoga. Ultimately, yoga means bhakti yoga. It is just. Those who are yoga and those who are detached, yoga means, I told again and again in the purport we have read, no, free from material sense gratification. If sense gratification comes, then immediately what happens? But in one sense, ultimately it is bhakti yogis. We have to come to the platform. Because ultimately everyone is a desirous of sense gratification. Bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakali ashant krishna bhakta nishkama atayeva shant. Like that. It is bhakti yoga. So he says highest transcendental quality of work. He always brings us to very high level, you know. Right? Prabhupada. Come up like that. Yeah, any yogis. But ultimately all yogis, they have to, Mayavadis also, that's why they say open ultimately. So we we worship, we don't see any difference between, that is Mayavada. We don't see difference between Shiva and Vishnu. Therefore, we go to Varadraj temple also in Kanchi, you know, Kanchi Mayavadis. But they all know that without doing devotional service to Vishnu, we will not get result. They all know that. They are so cheaters. Everyone has to do devotion. Karma Yogi also, he has to offer his results to Krishna, right or not? Jnani also should learn something about Krishna, you know, Krishna's qualities. You should hear about Krishna.
In Varnashram, it means there should be your karma yogis. They will not be doing full pure devotional service.
No, our Varnashrama is based on Bhagavatam. Our Varnashrama, like you see Ramaraja, if you see the kingdom of Parikshit Maharaj, they were all devotees of the Lord. So we want to establish that kind of varnashram. They will all be devotees. They will do, execute activities, they will perform activities according to their gunas, influence means nature, psychophysical nature. But they will all be devotees. It will be, center will be Krishna. Why do you think that varnashrama means we will go to some...
Sadhana bhakti is pure devotion will be there, like following sadhana, chanting, attending mangala, this all comes into sadhana. So everyone may not able to do that bhakti in varnashrama, like some...
Then you will not initiate them? Everyone will not, immediately it will not happen, like you see, no, it is just a transition period would be there, right or not? But at least at certain point of time, Prabhupada says, at least we should create Satya Yuga within this Kali Yuga, like that Prabhupada says. We should create Ramaraja within this Kali Yuga, like that Prabhupada says. That means Ramaraja means what? They were all devotees of Lord Rama, right? Of course, there is one. Who is that? Washerman. So said like that. But they are washerman is there, like in Jatila and Kutila in Vrindavana, right or not? They are all enhancing. Apparently it appears that they are not doing devotional service, but they are all enhancing the love of Krishna. They are helping in the rasa of Krishna, in the pastimes of Krishna, that's all.
How we can hear devotees, the people who are not following devotional service, they are enemies of devotees.
No, I am not talking. See, in ideal system of Varnashrama, there all would be devotees. Still Varnashrama would be functioning there. That in transition period, like now, not all are devotees in the world, right? Kings are not Kshatriyas. At certain point will come where we will be, all are devotees in the world. Then how Kali Yuga will continue like that, you will ask. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also emptied this universe. Again we came, no, Mahabhagavata here. Then Acharyas had to come.
So Guru, all our devotees means Vaishnavas, all are Vaishnavas. So in that, how will we divide Vaishnava Brahmana, Vaishnava Kshatriya, Vaishnava Shudra? It will become that kind of categorization, that is proper.
We will not rubber stamp like that. You are a Brahman, Vaishnava and all like that. But naturally, spontaneously, everyone will serve Krishna according to their psychophysical nature. Got the idea? But then also discrimination will be there. Someone will be given thread, someone will not be given thread. But that fellow who should not, he should not, oh, I am great, he will not tell. He will appreciate other devotees also. Their service to Krishna also. This we'll discuss in 14th chapter, where gunas, Vaishnavas are transcendental. What is the characteristics of person who has transcended the three modes of material nature? Whether we'll be like impersonal, mayavad with everyone with one quality, or there will be different qualities of within transcendental personalities. Those are Vaishnavas, right? If you make them blur, Vaishnava means one quality only, then it becomes Mayavad. There is no variety there, right? There will be variety. 14th chapter we will discuss.
In Varnashrama, like
Pandavas, so all the lords they were Pandavas were devotees. So, but other kingdom people.
Who was not devotee in Parikshit kingdom? Who was not devotee
no,
in Yudhishthira Maharaj's
kingdom? Other kingdom, like other kings. They were not devotees.
Who are not devotees? They were all non-devotees were smashed, no? Before Yudhishthira Maharaj became king. All non-devotees were killed, right?
You cannot tell that all...
How you cannot tell that? Why you are guessing?
All kings.
Why you are guessing?
Because
why you are guessing?
Only Parikshit Maharaj, he was a pure devotee. After Parikshit Maharaj departed, then there was no fall down of Kali, means fall down of...
Yeah, but we are talking about, we are not talking about after Parikshit Maharaj. I am talking, giving example of Parikshit Maharaj kingdom and I am giving example of so Yudhishthira Maharaj kingdom. I am giving example of Lord Rama's kingdom. I am giving example of Prathu Maharaj kingdom. Right? Why you are bringing, mixing up of what happened after, before? We want to establish a society of Parikshit Maharaj. We want to establish the society of Lord Rama. We want to establish the society of Yudhishthira Maharaj. We are not talking what happened after that, what happened before that and all.
And
Janmajaya
was also told that he was a devotee.
Janmajaya was? Devotee. Yeah, but he is devotee. Like now it takes transition. It was taking from transition from a society of devotees to society of Kali Yuga after Parikshit Maharaj. Now we want to take it back actually from society of Kali to society of devotees. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, whole world was filled with non-devotees. Now we have increased the number of devotees. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is told in Chaitanya Bhagavat one place. When Vasudeva Datta requested him that you give sin of all these people and deliver them. So he delivered, he emptied the whole universe for the pleasure of Vasudeva Datta. But then again the universe got filled. That's why he was laughing, Vasudeva. What you are asking? One universe if you finish empty, what will happen? There are so many universes and so many jivas. Right or not? One Sagar, one Panduranga, still they are waiting.
One universe means including Brahma and Indra also, like they are still that Brahma and Indra.
Why you feel that they came, they are from here only? You can put them from some other jivas also.
According to Bhagavatam, Purandara is there. This.
They may remain because you know Brahma anyway he is a devotee. Whoever is empty means not necessary that we want to take every detail of that. Right? Something you want to find fault in what we are saying.